Good morning, everyone. I love my church. Do you love your church? Let's hear you say it. I love. Okay, come on. You're a little disorganized here. It's 12 o'clock. Here we go. I love. Yes. One of the things we love about our church is that we stand up for what's right. And that that we're not afraid. That we know that what God tells us is true. That we're not afraid to stand up for that. This past year, I've been kind of a theme that's kind of been running through my system has been, I see somebody on the news and I look at them and I say, you know, that person just has one life, just like me. Look what's happening in their life. And I see somebody in my neighborhood and, you know, whatever's going on, I say, they just got one life. I was in Belize this summer on the missions trip and a lot of the people I met there, I would say to myself, they just get one life, just like I do. You know, what's going on in their life? So when Carol Duty sent me this little movie clip that I thought about the same thing. So take a look. You know, we all just get one life.
Do you want to come and work with us in India?
Soon I'll earn enough money to buy you a tin roof.
Welcome to Happiness House. Give yourself fully. That's how a goddess serves a god. From now on, sweetheart, you will do what men tell you and smile while you do it till all your debt is cleared.
Now after 5 years, I'm going back home.
5 years?
I just can't get her out of my head.
I think you saw that number. 5.5 million children who disappear every year. One life at a time. Just one life is all they get. You know, this whole situation with human trafficking touches every zip code in our country. It's not just at the Port Authority in Times Square. It's not just in Eastern Asia or South Asia. It goes on in Nassau and Suffolk County as well. And today we're going to take a little time and talk about all this. Probably some of you right now, your reaction, your honest reaction is, oh no. Like, I didn't come to church to talk about this. I came to church to enjoy the music and to pray and to feel peace in my heart. And, you know, I just would rather not even think about some of these things. You remember those three monkeys? You've seen these three monkeys, right? They see nothing, hear nothing, say nothing, right? I often wonder if somebody's going to take these three monkeys and put them on a church pew someplace. Because sometimes in the church, if we're not careful, we can be so wrapped up in our own little experience here, our own little moment with God, that sometimes we don't realize, you know, that we're not really seeing the world the way that God sees it. We're not hearing what God hears, and we're not speaking out the things that God wants us to speak. So if you're feeling a little uncomfortable today, let me tell you that our Bible, we're going to open up today to Acts chapter 16. You're going to find out how uncomfortable they felt. We're following the Apostle Paul and some of his missionary journeys. If you want to find us, if you want to use the Shelter Rock Bibles and follow along, it's page 1110. And you're gonna see something maybe you haven't seen before in God's Word today. So Paul has come into, he's on a missionary journey, he's meeting all kinds of interesting people along the way, and God's using him to speak the gospel, the good news to the Gentiles, to the people, the non-Jews, and they're understanding that Jesus is God's method, it's God's plan. It's God's rescuer to give us salvation, to make us justified, to make us right in God's sight. Jesus has come to do all these things, and people are responding to it. So he's come to a little place called Philippi, a nice little city, kind of eastern Greece, kind of above where modern-day Turkey is. And as we open up God's word today, listen to what happens to him. Chapter 16, verse 16. Once while we were going to a place of prayer, we were met by a female slave who had a spirit by which she predicted the future. She earned a great deal of money for her owners by fortune telling. I'll stop there just for a second. I told you, you kind of said, I'm not sure I really wanted to come to church today, if they're going to talk about this. Guess what? The Apostle Paul was on his way to a place of prayer. He had another agenda. He had another plan. He was kind of like, say, I'm going to go out and have this time of prayer. We'll probably be with some of my brothers and sisters, and it'll be just a great time of prayer and reflection. But his life gets interrupted because he runs into a young girl who he says is a slave and who's being used. She's being worked by these people who own her because she has a gift. She has like a psychic gift. She has the ability to kind of say things and predict the future. She has an evil spirit inside of her that's, I guess, both entertaining and informative, and people are looking for it. I mean, a lot of us have friends who are going to psychics and going to psychic readers and trying to get information about life and about the future and all these other things. This girl, that's what she was doing. So the Apostle Paul's on his way to church, you might say, and guess what? His life gets interrupted by running into this young woman. Look what it says, verse 17. She followed Paul and the rest of us, shouting, "These men are servants of the Most High God who are telling you the way to be saved." She kept this up for so many days. Finally, Paul became so annoyed that he turned around and said to the Spirit, "In the name of Jesus Christ, I command you, come out of her." And at that moment, the Spirit left her. When the owners realized that their hope of making money was gone, they seized Paul and Silas. They dragged them down to the marketplace to face the authorities. They brought them before the magistrates and they said, "These men are Jews, and they're throwing our city into an uproar by advocating customs unlawful to us Romans to accept or practice." Then the crowd joined in the attack against Paul and Silas. And the magistrates ordered them to be stripped and beaten with rods. And after they'd been severely flogged, they were thrown into prison, and the jailer was commanded to guard them carefully. And when he received these orders, he put them in the inner cell and fastened their feet in stocks. That's God's word to us this morning. The Bible is never boring. Do you agree? There's always things going on in here that you never quite expected. But look what has happened here. The Apostle Paul, as we said, was kind of on his way to church, and he saw a problem, and he tried to ignore it. He tried to avoid it. Anybody here good at avoiding problems? I love to ignore things. The faucet's dripping. Well, we can get to that later, We can do something else. There's a little oil dripping out of my car in the driveway. I don't have time to deal with that right now, right? Things are going on in my neighborhood and somebody wants to, start some kind of a drive. Well, I love to avoid problems. I love to get away. I love to just kind of have my own peace and quiet. I have enough to deal with in my life. And yet what we see in this situation is the Apostle Paul is trying to ignore the problem that he sees this young girl who's being owned. She's a slave. She's being used by these people to make money for them. And he says, "Just let me get going. I just want to go pray." Then we see that not only is he ignoring her, but he's also annoyed by it. Isn't it funny that this word really pops up in God's word? Look at verse 18. Finally, he says, she kept this up for so many days. Finally, Paul became so annoyed that he turned around and said to the Spirit. Now, I'm just so glad this is in the Bible, okay? Because I get so annoyed with some people, all right? And it's good to know that the Apostle Paul, get so annoyed too, all right? Because some people just drive me crazy. They just keep coming and requesting and asking more, and I'm like, oh, come on. I gave you help last time. You didn't do anything. So many things have happened, and you just get so disappointed with people sometimes, and some people just wear you out, and this girl just keeps wearing them out. You might say, well, what's wrong? It sounds like they're getting free advertising. These men are servants of the Most High God. Listen to them. You know, the bad thing about messages coming from evil spirits is that they often tell the truth, but then they weave together with the truth the lies that are part of it. So there are people who are psychics who tell things that actually will happen, or they tell things that's truthful about your family, right? And that gains credibility. You kind of go, whoa, how would she know that? Well, the psychic spirit helps them do that, but then she weaves a story along with that that's not true, that will lead you away from God, that will hurt your life and destroy your life, and you say, well, that must be true as well because of what she said that was true. So the Apostle Paul is annoyed because this evil spirit is kind of mimicking their message, and then he says, but the day that we leave, then this is going to start weaving the lies through this girl telling everybody what is the true way of salvation and who is the true God. So the Apostle Paul is annoyed with this whole thing. He's annoyed that this girl just goes on and on and on. And I think that, you know, again, I love that word for showing up in my Bible because I get annoyed with people too. And it shows me that this is part of real life. If you got to go out and live and interact with people and work with people, there's going to be people in your life that are going to wear you out. But guess what? God wants us to interact and connect with them. Because then look what the next thing he does. He says that he gets angry with her enough. He just like turns around and kind of says, okay, I've had it. And I says, you got a real problem here. Your problem is you got an evil spirit in you. And I'm going to command that spirit in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of you and to be gone. So he addresses the problem and comes right at this whole thing and really faces the problem. And sometimes that's usually what it takes, right? I mean, we can avoid things, we can go along with things, we can just kind of, you know, just kind of live in unreality. But sometimes just get dropped in front of us. We're like, we've got to do something about this, and we got to face the real problem. I've over the past few months, I've had a lot of opportunities to be involved with families who are struggling with addiction. And recently, another situation came up, and they said, well, here's somebody who's been battling with drugs for this long period of time, and everyone else has kind of given up on them. Why don't you come? Maybe you can help. And I'm like, oh, bro, I'm not an expert in this. I'm not a skilled counselor. They said, just please come. You'll bring hope and help to all. You're a person who can help. And I'm like, oh, please, you know, I want to stay home. Just watch television, right? I go, I say, Lord, I think you want me to go here. I have no idea how to do this. I have no idea how to carry this whole thing forward. But I'm here, and I just want to face what's going on. In fact, last week, I was in a situation, we were going to help get a person out of the detox center at the hospital, and they tried to find a place, temporary place, and then tried to find a long-term place, and tried to make some reconciliation with the family. And I mean, there were like five major things that had to happen in one day. And when I woke up that morning, I didn't know the answer to any of those five questions. I went to my men's Bible study group on Tuesday morning at 6:30. I said to the guys there, I need your help. You need to pray for me today. I got five things facing me here starting at like 9 o'clock, and I have no idea what to do. And they prayed. I prayed through these whole situations. At 8 o'clock, I got one answer. 10 o'clock, I got another answer. Like at noontime, I got a third answer. And by the time we got to the evening, all five things had been answered. And the people, when I wrote to my prayer group and said, here's what happened today, they wrote back and go, wow, this is amazing. They were saying, God is certainly able. And that certainly is the truth. That sometimes what it takes, we get ourselves in situations that are more than what we can handle. We rely on God. We ask him for his help. He does give us the help that we need. Now, on that day, to get five answers in about 6 hours, that's pretty unusual. I don't usually get all those answers so fast all the time, and I'm not saying to you that's normal for me or for you. But you know what? God wants us to take our life and our situations, when we get involved with other people, we ask for help, to let God, to lean on Him, to rely on Him, and to learn to trust Him, that He'll work it out. And certainly, I found that that's absolutely true. He begins to make all these things happen. Well, then we see that one of the other things that he does as he looks at all this is he sees what the real problem is. So he attacks the root of the problem, which is this evil spirit that's inside this girl, that she's being held in slavery, and she's being operated, she's being run by these two men, or these men who are making this whole thing happen. And so he attacks the spiritual root of the problem, not the person. I mean, some people, you know, are... what would I say? Just their personality and the way that they have their history and some of these other things. I get very tired and I feel like I want to just attack them. But, you know, we're not called. Jesus sets a good example for us. He doesn't look at people as though their problem is who they are. He sees them for who they are, made in the image of God. And he knows that what's going on, the reason they're acting so badly, and the reason that they're so annoying, and the reason that they're so disappointing us in all these areas is because of what's in them. And he wants to work on getting what's in them changed. He wants to change the control center inside their life. So when I look at people and I go, she just wears me out, you know, instead of pushing her aside, I need to say, she needs a transformation in her life. She needs to know that she's forgiven. She needs to know that she's loved. I need to do things for their family and to kind of pour out, you know, look for ways that we can show love to them in spite of what they're doing that we're so unhappy about. And so the Apostle Paul really comes to this whole thing and says, let's deal with what's going on inside you. You know what Ephesians 6 says, great famous passage, talks about, it says, what we're battling against is not flesh and blood. We're not battling against people. We're battling against this unseen spirit, against the evil rulers and the authorities of the unseen world, against the mighty powers of this dark world, and against the evil spirits in heavenly places. I mean, the Apostle Paul got all kinds of opposition and all kinds of problems wherever he went. He didn't look at people and say, "You're the problem." He knew that the enemy, Satan himself, the devil, God's enemy, was working in through these people, and it was causing, you know, them to be put up opposition to the spread of the gospel, to try and discourage them and stop them and to defeat them. And so we need to understand that as we look at people in all these in our lives in the same way. And then we see that what he does is he also faces opposition. So here he is doing good things. He gets the spirit out of this young lady. He sets her free. But he is just cut off, you know, he's just destroyed the goose that laid the golden egg for these men who are owning this girl. They're like, when they see that she no longer has this psychic spirit in her, that they're like, "Hey, what'd you do? You're just right." And so they're mad. They haul them, they grab a hold of them, take them down to the town authorities and say, "These people destroyed our business. You know, they took away our star, you know, performer here with all this." Didn't really matter that she was a slave. Didn't matter that they were using her and making money off of her. And so they got everybody riled up. They beat them and throw them into jail and lock them up. Well, you know, I guess as one of my friends always says, "Jack, just remember, no good deed goes unpunished." So sometimes, you know, you go out and do the right thing and show love and do the God thing. And guess what? It doesn't always work out perfectly for you. In fact, sometimes it seems like life gets harder and you get more opposition and you start even backtracking in your mind and start saying, "If I just stayed home, if I just closed my door, if I just hadn't thought about getting involved in this whole thing, I wouldn't have all this negative stuff coming at me with all this." Because people will come at you. People do want to destroy you. They're not going to just step aside when you step in to tell the truth and to talk about setting people free. And to change what's going on with all these things. I mean, there is a lot of, you know, opposition that people are going to come against. You know, one of the interesting things that happens is in the rest of the story, I don't know if you read the rest of this chapter, but when they throw them into jail, Paul and Silas kind of changed the whole atmosphere in the jail, because at midnight, instead of bemoaning and cursing and kind of questioning God, they're singing praises to God at midnight. And I'm sure the other prisoners were kind of like, are these guys crazy? What's going on with all this? I like what Paul writes in Romans 12:12. He says, be joyful in hope, be patient in affliction, be faithful in prayer. And those three things kind of get you through life. Joyful in hope, you know, things are going to, just keep a cheerful spirit. God's going to work this out. Be patient in affliction. Yeah, we're all going to get knocked down and it's all going to be hard for us. But you're going to get through it, and be faithful in prayer. Be trusting God that God's going to lead you through to where he wants you to go. Well, as they're singing there in the jail, guess what? God sends an earthquake, shakes the whole jail, opens all the cell doors, breaks off all the chains and the bonds that have been put on them, and everyone's up and ready to go. But something unusual happens, because none of the prisoners run. They all stay there. I think Paul and Silas kind of gathered them together and said, listen, don't run away. God's at work here. And then when the jailer came out, he saw that the doors were all open. He was sure that the prisoners had gone. And his response was, I might as well just kill myself now, because they're going to kill me in the morning when they get here and find out everybody's escaped. Before he can take the sword to himself, the Apostle Paul says, no, stop. We're all still here. Don't take your life. And what happens is unbelievable. They kind of have a big house party. The jailer takes them in, feeds them, tends to their cuts and lacerations and all the beatings and everything else that has happened. And so you got the jailer and the prisoners having this big party together about, you know, what's going on. And the jailer's like, what is with you people? I mean, nobody ever acts like this. And the Apostle Paul tells him about this great story of Jesus and how God sent his son into the world. And the jailer says, I want to believe that. And it says the jailer and all of his household, you know, were believers and put their faith in Christ. And all of them were saved. Unbelievable, right? And then it's very interesting that Paul, who sets the girl free from slavery, that he gets enslaved and put into prison. But then God comes along and frees him from prison. But then not just for that, but then he frees the jailer, almost, you know, brings the jailer into the faith. And you can see that God's way of doing things to save people is unbelievable. So creative. There's no way that you would ever anticipate this is how it was going to happen. And the very next day, when Paul and Silas they're hoping to just give them some candy bars and tell them to leave town, sorry about that. They say, no, you're not going to just dismiss us. We're Roman citizens. You didn't give us our rights. You shouldn't have beaten us and imprisoned us as Roman citizens without proper due process. And we're going to talk about this. We're going to bring this whole thing up, because there's a lot of corruption going on here, that you would let people come in who are running the slave market, that you would just do whatever they want to do and get rid of us just because we tried to set this girl free. So you can see on all different levels how God's at work in making all this happen. I think that, you know, here comes the next picture that's going to really zap us, okay? Slavery still exists. Okay, I think if you haven't seen it up on the screen, you'll see it before our time is done here today. They estimate now that there's still 45 million people who are enslaved right now in the world. More people are in slavery right now than at any other time in history. Now, we live in North America. We think, well, slavery is a thing of the past. That's 150 years ago. And most of the Western kind of Anglo world, Australia, England, Northern Europe, and North America, we say, you know, slavery's over. Well, if you go through the center of Africa, up through the Middle East, all the way into Asia, 45 million people still enslaved. And we wonder, we sit in our churches here and kind of say, everything's fine, everything's good. But I think this morning our message is to say, let's wake up. Let's see what's happening around the world. Let's see that God's justice and his righteousness needs to be declared. And that people who only have one life to live, just like you and me, that they need to be free. And that they need to be set free so that they can live in that way. Now, the forces at work that caused slavery, I think you know this. I don't need to go into all the details. Obviously, money's part of it. People enslave people because they could, you know, make money off of them. They can get work done at low costs. And that's part of it's our own sinful nature. We love to control and force, push around other people. We love to be the bosses of other people and to own other people. We dehumanize people. All these things are going on with us. Some people are thought of to be less than human because of either the color of their skin or their background or their culture or the way they use their language and all these things. And so people often use those things as permission to take people and to enslave them. But the Apostle Paul tells us, he says, listen, we've got to be God's people and we've got to stand up for what God wants us, for what God stands for. Listen to these verses from Philippians chapter 1, and it's very interesting. This is a letter that Paul writes back to the church at Philippi. This is where all this happened in Philippi. So later on, he writes back to them. And listen to these verses. He says, whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Get that? I mean, sometimes we think, what does God really want us to do? Oh, go to church, dress up nice, say a few prayers, learn a few Bible verses. You know, that's what a good Christian does, right? Well, that's part of what a good Christian does. But maybe one of the ways that we ought to be worthy, that we ought to live a life worthy of the gospel, is to do what Jesus did. Jesus said, I came to set the captive free. I came to bind up the brokenhearted. I came to seek and to save those who were lost, to find those who were separated. And he said to us, as the Father has sent me, so send I you. And so the Apostle Paul writes and says, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Look around and see what's going on. What would Jesus do? Who would he stop and talk to? Where would he focus his attention? Then he goes on and says, and listen to this, I will know that you stand firm in the one Spirit, that's capital S, the Holy Spirit, striving together. Together is a big thing, that God wants us not just to go off individually and do these things, but he wants us to work together as one, striving together as one for the faith of the gospel, without being frightened in any way by those who oppose you. You know, we think about making a difference in this world and standing up against the slavery and the things that are being done politically and by governments and by companies and evil men. And we think to ourselves, oh boy, if we try to take on these people, there's no telling what they might do to us. But the scripture says, greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. And he tells us to not be frightened in any way by those who oppose you. I mean, he's what I just read to you from Acts 16. You're going to get opposition. They may throw you in jail. They may beat you up. They may do all these things, but guess what? God's still at work. He still may use those circumstances and your faithfulness to him to turn it around so that even those who are the captors, even those who are leading the evil of the world, that their lives can be changed as they see Christ in us and that they might come to know him. He said, this will be a sign to them that they will be destroyed, but that you will be saved, and that by God. God's going to sort all this out. But he wants us to be part of his kingdom right now. He wants us to be part of the sorting. He wants us to be doing the work because there are many people out there who've just got one life to live. And they need to hear, they need the relief that we can bring to them. Is this making sense to you? This is God's word to us today. You know, what's interesting, I think, is as I finish up here, we think about what is the kingdom of God. How, you know, we often pray about the kingdom of God, you know, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Well, we want the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God basically means what the world would look like if God was in charge, if we did what God wanted us to do. That's what the kingdom of God is all about. And who's going to make that happen? Well, Jesus changes our life. And he changes our life so that we can go out and change the culture. We can go out and change the people around us. We can help shape and influence the way people think and how they live in their lives. So if Christ has changed your life, he wants you to go out and to help change the lives of other people. So what did we learn today? Well, look at this. From the Apostle Paul in this little lesson, there's several things. Number one, we want to be a church that rights the wrongs. We want to be known. When people say, well, what's that church you go to, that Shelter Rock? What do you do at that Shelter Rock church? You know, one of the things you can say to them is, we try to right the wrongs. We try to open our eyes and see what's going on. If there's anything that we can do, that God can show us to do, we want to be about that. We want to be aware. We want to be annoyed. You know, we want to feel upset about what's going on. We want to be angry about it. And then, most importantly, we want to do something about it. How many of you want to do something? You know? Yes. See, God wants to work in us to get our muscles going, not just our brain. He wants to get our feet moving so that we can make a difference in this world. Today, right now, I want to show you a little video about a young man, One Life to Live, in India, and what some Christians did to help him and other people who were caught in slavery. Take a look at this.
You're working 14, 18 hour days with very little sleep, no freedom. Dignity is taken away from them. And that's something nobody should have to endure. We had a number of years ago, two of the bond laborers escaped from a facility. And they were tracked down by the owners of the facility and brought back. And as a punishment for what they had done, their hands were chopped off.
We would go to the government officers and we'd say, sir, there is a bonded labor case. And almost always the response was, there is no bonded labor in my area. What are you talking?
How much?
30?
Yeah, I'm happy.
Ruchira, there's a girl who's very afraid. Almost unable to walk.
This is Kumar. He was abandoned by his mother, and his father was suddenly killed. Orphaned and alone, he was accountable for his parents' debts. And at just 7 years old, he was forced into slavery. Kumar remembers a day where he was so ill he couldn't get out of bed. Immediately, his owner came looking for him. Kumar was trapped by debt and a slave owner who beat him continuously. He, like so many, had no remaining hope for a way out. IJM discovered the horrific conditions in the brick factory where Kumar and others were being forced to work against their will. And, based on their undercover video evidence, local government authorities and police came alongside IJM to conduct a rescue operation.
The more and more we are doing these rescues, people are getting aware that people are being abused. There is bonded labor, there is trafficking. Also, the law is going to take its course as well as perpetrators go behind.
When the team arrived in the morning and entered the brick factory, 15 men, women, and children were rescued and given their freedom back. Then, they were each given a certificate to prove that they no longer owe any debts to their former owner. And one was for Kumar. After being rescued, IJM placed Kumar in their aftercare program to heal.
You'd ask him a question anytime, no matter what, and he would say, the one thing I want to do, sir, is I want to study. He was clear about that.
And then they enrolled him in school for the first time. Today, he is studying to be a social worker, to help those still suffering like he did.
And what we do at IJM is we go look for that lost sheep, that girl that's being abused, that widow who's been run out of her home. And we will search for her until we find her. That's how our Father has loved us. That's how we are called to love others. Not to search for them until we've satisfied ourselves. Not to search for them until it gets really hard. But to go after them until we find them. To be relentless in our love.
Do you think we ought to do something about this? Well, the good news is that there are people doing good things about this. Up here on the screen, you're going to see that there's at least six organizations that we're connected with that are taking steps with this. Down at the bottom says Restore. It's a ministry here in New York helping women who are being trafficked. Dorta Tate from out on the Syosset campus is involved in this and helping. The NOMI Network. Sweena Varghese has been active with them and helping in that way. Cycling for Change with Santosh Paulus and his wife Raj. They're raising money to help deal with trafficking and also to help World Vision. They have a bike race coming up next week, and they're doing a lot of good things with all that. And then International Justice Mission has also been there. In fact, Richard is here today, and I'm going to ask Richard to stand up. And just so you can see him and say hello. They are the people who are just to produce the video that you just saw about Kumar. And he's going to be outside at the table. He's got information because it's time for us to do something, okay? You might say, like I did on Tuesday morning, I don't know what to do. I don't have any idea. Well, guess what? There could be an answer. If you're willing to become aware of what's going on and willing to say, God, show me what I can do, God will find something out of that's going to fit you perfectly, that you could be involved and do this. You know, last week was International Freedom Sunday all over around the world. We delayed it a week because we wanted to tie this passage from Acts 16 together with all this, where we see that the Apostle Paul was involved in helping this young girl be set free. She just had one life to live, just like you and I. And we want to make sure that our lives are going to be spent in freeing other people so that they can live and so that they can be all that God wants them to be and so that they can know him and live with him forever. Do you believe that? Let's bow our heads and pray. We thank you, God, for this, for your word and for this story. For the way it reflects how you care about people. And we're thankful, Father, that for these organizations that are stepping forward. And we ask that you'd show us what our part in this should be. And how you would like to use us to bring justice. And to bring relief, to bring freedom to people who have been enslaved. And so, Jesus, guide us and direct us. We want to be a church that rights wrongs. We want to stand up for the righteousness and the truth that comes from the living God. So guide us, Father, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.